Let's please turn your Bibles to Leviticus 23:22. Last week we covered what are called the spring feasts, the feast of Passover, where that was fulfilled in the fact that Jesus became our Passover lamb and was sacrificed so that death could pass over us. And then there was the feast of first fruits and unleavened bread. Unleavened bread is the sinful, you know, representing the sinlessness of that Passover time, you know, that God had a perfect sacrifice, no leaven, unleavened bread. So that typified that completeness of 7 days of unleavened bread, the completeness of God's perfect sacrifice. The Feast of First Fruits, which is when Jesus rose from the grave. So again, something that was fulfilled hundreds and hundreds of years later in what Jesus did. And then the Feast of Pentecost, 50 days after Passover, First Fruits. First fruits of Passover week. And that was when the law was given to Moses in the Old Testament. And it's when the law was written onto the hearts of men by the power of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit was given to man. And it was the birth of the church. And we talked as we were closing, because it was just a few days, 4 days, 5 days before Pentecost Sunday, 28th of May, 2023. That some people think Pentecost, the church started Pentecost, the church of Denver, Pentecost, it wasn't the 2023. If that's true, that Pentecost is going to be the time that God takes the church, it wasn't 2023. And so then, so you have three feasts, and then one feast, the spring feast, the center feast of Pentecost, then you have the fall feasts, which are the Feast of Trumpets or Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur, the Jews call it. And then you have the Feast of Tabernacles, which is a 7-day feast starting on the 15th day of the 7th month that goes for 7 days, its completeness. It's when the Jews to this day, they know the Messiah is coming on Tabernacles. He's coming on that final feast of the fall feast. That's when the Messiah will come. And we're going to cover those three feasts today, hopefully get through all of them. But Leviticus 23:22, it ended after the spring feast. It was just emphasizing again, we didn't really cover this, but it emphasizes again that you don't harvest every little bit of grain out of your field. You leave some of it behind for the poor. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field when you reap, nor shall you gather any gleaning from your harvest. That means after you've gone through once with harvesting, you know, and back then it was manual, you grab the wheat, in your hand and then sickle it and then put it on a batch. And if some of it fell out of your hand, you didn't go back after it. You gather any gleaning of your harvest, you shall leave them for the poor and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God. So the poor and the stranger would have to, their food stamps were, it's out there, go get it. It wasn't that they just went to the grocery store and got it because they had a card. They had to go work to get it and to take care. And if somebody was unable to because of physical problems, then they would have family members that would do it. They would take care of each other. So then going to verse 23, then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel saying, in the 7th month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial, a blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation, meaning it's another high Sabbath day. It is a day that nobody's supposed to work, no matter what day of the week it is. It's another Sabbath instead of a Saturday Sabbath. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. Now, this is also repeated a little bit in Numbers chapter 29, verse 1 through 6. And let's turn to Joel chapter 2, verse 1. And this year, this feast is on September 15th. It's on Friday, September 15th. And so this is referred to as the Feast of Trumpets, or Rosh Hashanah, which means the beginning of the new year. And so this is how they know it's the new month, is the Jews, for all these years, they sit there. How do you know They didn't have satellites. They didn't have the awareness. And so you're looking for the new moon, meaning there's no light of the moon, and you just start to see the moon, because your moon goes full moon, and then it goes to no moon, and that's the new moon when it starts out to be seen. Well, if it's a cloudy day, you're not sure which one it is. And if it, so it's cloudy, or man, did I see it, or did I not see it? And so then they have to declare it, and even today, they'll have trumpets. It's actually 2 days, just to make sure that whatever the first day is, you know, so they can better understand what the first day. So it's supposed to be that first day to start the civil calendar. The civil calendar started on the Feast of Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets. And they offer a burnt offering, sacrifices, and mark at the end of the harvest of the year. So the harvest is all done. So now by this time, the harvest is in, and they're starting to think about, okay, now what have I done this year? And it starts a 10 days of awe where they realize this is the beginning of the month, but 10 days from now is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And they're supposed to prepare their hearts and soften their hearts for realizing that day is going to be the day that we go through the Day of Atonement that we covered in Leviticus chapter 16. At length, where there's a scapegoat and sin sacrifice, it's the only day of the year that when that day is over, all the nation feels like all their sins are forgiven. And the Jews to this day, from Rosh Hashanah until Yom Kippur, as we mentioned, you know, several times here, and when our guest speaker from Israel Ministries, Chosen People Ministries, he emphasized, Greg Sabet, he was emphasizing that the Jews, they get really friendly with their neighbors and everything. They just want to go and make sure, I didn't do anything to you this year, did I? I mean, I need to repent. I need to get right, because they feel like judgment's coming. They want to know that they're going to be okay because judgment's coming, because then the next thing after Yom Kippur is Tabernacles, and that's when God someday is going to come and physically set up his kingdom with us and tabernacle with us, and we got to be ready to do it. Now, does the church have to worry about any of that? No, we are already tabernacling with Jesus, aren't we? Because we now have a relationship with him. And I'm not waiting for a special day of atonement, because I've already been atoned for. Jesus is already my perfect sacrifice. So these fall feasts really have nothing to do with the church, but they have everything to do with the remaining Jews on this earth, because they know their Messiah is coming on Tabernacles, and he is. Jesus is going to come on Tabernacles. And one of the benefits of knowing that is if Jesus comes at the end of the 7-year tribulation period, then what do we know about the Antichrist? We know that the beginning of the 7-year tribulation period starts with the Antichrist enforcing a covenant with many for 1 7-year period of time, right? So when is that going to happen? That's going to happen on Rosh Hashanah, you know, a new year Tabernacles time frame, because, you know, they're only separated by 15 days. So it's going to be, he's going to do it and probably do it right on Tabernacles. And so we can even anticipate that the Antichrist will be embraced by the Jews as their Messiah. And when he signs that covenant or enforces it in some way, the Jews are going to say, see, he did it. He's the Messiah. Now he's tabernacling here with us. And so, people were saying, oh, there's that 7-year peace process that, the Europeans were trying to put together and stuff. It's going to happen, Tabernacles. It's going to happen in that time frame. But we're not there yet, because we're just doing trumpets. And so I want to just emphasize that the Jews look at this time of the year that we're talking about, the fall feast, is judgment's coming. And they get it from more than one source, and one of them is Joel. In Joel chapter 2, verse 1, blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come great and strong, and like the like of whom has never been. Nor will there ever be any such after them, even for many successive generations. And then it alludes to things that almost, they compare it to a locust plague. The people are going to be coming and just destroying, and we know from other scriptures that in the Battle of Armageddon, the Antichrist armies are coming into Jerusalem, Mount Zion, and they are pillaging and raping and going through and wiping out the Jews. And God tells them, to the remaining Jews, that when Jesus comes back, he puts a judgment, a stop to the Battle of Armageddon. He tells the Jews, run out of Jerusalem in this valley. When he sets his foot on the Mount of Olives, the Mount of Olives splits into Jerusalem, and they come in a safety to get away from this onslaught of the army. And it's going to be like a locust. And verse 12, this time of the Messiah coming is going to be judgment. Now, therefore, says the Lord, this is in preparation for the Day of Atonement. The way the Jews look at this section of Scripture, this is the coming of God. Now, therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning, to rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering, a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and the nursing babes. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. You know, skip everything you're doing. Get right with God, is what this is saying. Even if it's your wedding day, whatever else, it's time to get right with God. Let the priests who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nation should rule over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Now, when would that be the case in the worst case scenario, right before Jesus comes back? Where the remaining Jews, again, you know, there's going to be Jews that believe in Jesus, run into the wilderness, they're going to be protected. There's going to be other Jews that don't believe. They got duped into thinking it was the Antichrist was their Messiah. And then all of a sudden, the Antichrist and the armies of the world are coming to come and destroy them. And God is going to be calling them in Joel. He's calling them, it's time for you to just get right with God. And then, perhaps the Lord will save us from these people that are saying, well, where's your God now? We're in their city. We're raping and pillaging. We're going to get rid of these Jews once and for all. But the people that say, God, we need you. And then they're going to see Jesus coming from the clouds with power and great glory. And they're going to look on him whom they have pierced. And they're going to weep and they're going to wail. Because this is going to be fulfilled. Because they have their heart towards that time of God, you've got to save us, and we've got to repent of our foolishness of following this Antichrist. And so that'll be fulfilled there. So it goes from blow the trumpet, judgment's coming, you better get right, Day of Atonement. And then, Joel 2:18, then the Lord will be zealous for his land and pity his people. The Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, I will send you grain and new wine and oil, and you will be satisfied by them. I will no longer make you a reproach among the nations, but I will remove far from you the northern army and will drive him away into a barren and desolate land with his face towards the eastern sea and his back towards the western sea. His stench will come up and his foul odor will rise because he has done monstrous things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done marvelous things. Now, there was probably a near understanding of that because God had saved them from the enemies before, but it's also looking at the end days. And so the above sequence, you know, we see in Joel, trumpets, repentance, Day of Atonement, deliverance by God, tabernacles where God's going to be there and deliver his people. And so we're now going to go to Matthew 24:34, shifting subjects here, to the reasoning that some think that the Feast of Trumpets, which started this whole fall feast, is a rapture feast, that the rapture of the church is going to be here. We're going to spend some time on this. Now, See, Day of Atonement is totally fulfilled in the understanding of the sacrificial system, right? Day of Atonement, we do the sacrifice, Leviticus 16, which is, you know, we haven't done atonement yet. We're doing trumpets, then atonement, then tabernacles. Tabernacles, God's going to reign with them and live with them, tabernacle with them, atonement, repentance, trumpets. What's trumpets tied to? Nothing. What's Passover tied to? Jesus, Passover lamb. What's first fruits tied to? Resurrection. What's the unleavened bread is tied to Jesus, as we've already talked about. Pentecost is tied to the church being birthed and the law being given. Trumpets is just trumpets. There's nothing it's really tied to. And that's why some people make an argument that, well, it's not tied to anything yet, but it's going to be tied to the big uptaking of the rapture of the church. So we're going to start with this analysis of those people that believe this by looking at Matthew 24:34. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away until all these things, where Jesus, this is the Olivet Discourse, Jesus is telling us all the things that are going to happen in the last days up and including the second coming of him, of the Messiah, Jesus, that by no means pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of the day and the hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now, we believe he has to be talking about the rapture in that, because we know the exact day Jesus comes back from biblical texts in Daniel. Daniel says from the time the commandment to the abomination of desolation until the coming of the Messiah is this many days. We know the days. And so then he's saying no one knows the day or the hour. And then Jewish roots people have pointed out trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets is the only day you don't really know the day or the hour, because you don't know when it's really going to be the first, you know, it's going to be the new moon. The totally dark sky, no moon, and you're getting ready for that new moon. Was it today? Did it happen today? It was too cloudy. We see it again the next day. You don't know when that day is going to be. I don't think that's what Jesus is saying, but I just want you to know that that's what people are saying. It's the only feast that you don't know for sure what day that day is that starts the year. And let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4:15. The other reason is because God's word does say that there will be a trumpet blast during the rapture. Now, there's other times the Jews blew trumpets. But Feast of Trumpets, you know, the trump will be blown during the rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4:15 is clearly the rapture, where God takes us up, snatches us up. 1 Thessalonians 4:15, very familiar section of scripture. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep, meaning dead. So people in Paul's day were thinking Jesus was going to come back, and they were bothered that people in the church were dying. And they were saying, well, what's going to happen to them? I mean, we're waiting for Jesus to come back and take us, but what happened to them? And Paul's saying, don't worry about it. We're not going to precede them. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel. And then here's the key, as far as our study tonight, and with the trumpet of God. See right there, Feast of Trumpets. Well, no, you can't really say that, but that's what they're saying. You can't prove that that's it, but there's going to be a blast of the trumpet. And the dead in Christ will rise first. The people who have died in belief in the church age, they will rise first. They will come out of the grave resurrected in glorified bodies, heading to heaven to be with Jesus. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. That word is harpazo in the Greek. In the Latin, it's raptura, which is where we get rapture. So rapture is in the Bible in Latin. Shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So So we don't know exactly the day or the hour that that's going to happen. We don't know. The Bible does not say that the rapture is going to be on a feast day. It doesn't say that. It could be tomorrow. We could go tomorrow. We don't have to wait for the next feast. But it's a big deal, and other big deal things that God has done have been on feast days. But we just don't know. There's nothing in the scripture. Let us know when it's going to happen. But there's going to be a trumpet blast. There is going to be a voice of an archangel. People that are going to resurrect out of the graves, and their souls, which are already in heaven, are now going to be joined with a glorified body and be with God forever and ever after that. And we go up to meet him in the air to then go to heaven, where in John it says that he's been making mansions for those who believe in him. We're going to go and be with Jesus, have the marriage supper of the Lamb, have the Bema Seat judgment, and be there with Jesus. And Jesus, in the second coming, he comes with us, according to Jude. We, the saints, come back with him as he then gets rid of the Antichrist armies. So it can't be a post-trib rapture because Jesus is coming back with us. How did we get there to be with him, to come down with him, as we got up there earlier when he came into the clouds to call us to go be with him? Very clear in scripture. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15:51. So because of that term in 1 Thessalonians 4, with a trumpet of God, they say that's going to be the Feast of Trumpets. But you can't make, again, a proof case about it. 1 Corinthians 15:51 also talks about the rapture. It talks about the resurrection where we're instantly changed and go to be with God. And Paul is saying in this chapter, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all, not everybody's going to die. Because there's going to be a time where Jesus puts an end to the church age. And when that happens, there's going to be people alive that believe in him. So not everybody's going to die. There's going to be a whole bunch of people that just get taken to go be with God in heaven. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. See, right there, Feast of Trumpets. And isn't that amazing that in an instant of a twinkling of an eye, that means like instantaneous, you're going to be changed. And some people have taught and thought, including me, that that means you're going to kind of instantly be gone too. But a teacher once was commenting on this, and I totally agree with him as I was realizing, okay, I'm going to change my view on this, because it says you're changed in an instant, but it doesn't say you go to be with him in an instant. And he says, when Jesus went up into heaven, did the people see him go up into heaven? Yes. When Elijah went up into heaven, did people see him go up into heaven? They watched him go up. And so we're instantly changed. And then, I think they're going to see us. I think the people in the world are going to just see us go up to be with Jesus. And at first they're going to go, whoa, what just happened to you? Gray hair's gone. Yep, goodbye. Instantly changed into a new glorified body that is going to be fit for eternity. Paul goes on in Corinthians, you know, this corruptible must put on incorruption. This trash body is going to put on a body that is going to be good and fit for eternity. For the trump will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal, something that can die, it cannot live forever, must put on immortality, something that will never die. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. We are not going to die. For all of eternity, be with God, new heaven, new earth, ultimately, worshiping him along with the angels that didn't rebel and fall with Satan forever and ever and ever. And with no corruption. Let's turn to Revelation 11:15, because other people take that verse. It said the last trumpet. So then where do we know that there's also trumpets being blown? In the book of Revelation. During the first 3.5 years, you know, best guess, you know, best, my understanding, the trumpet judgments are in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And so the last trumpet is the seventh trumpet. So that's when the rapture is going to happen, because Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, before Revelation was even written, he says it's the last trumpet. Oh, so now it's going to be mid-trib, because it says the last trumpet. Well, let's look at what it says in Revelation 11:15. When the seventh angel, trumpet angel, the angel that has a trumpet, when he blows his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders, which are the church, by the way, going back to chapter 5, they're up in heaven already, but that's not what they believe. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, the eternal. You know, you never were. You've been forever, the eternal one, Jesus, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry and your wrath has come in the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. And so some people say, well, that's mid, or they'll say it's at the end. So they go, no, we can't be the beginning. This is either mid or end of the tribulation period. And so that's the last trump. And Paul said in Corinthians, it was the last trump, and that's the seventh trump. That's when the rapture is. Well, do you think on the Feast of Trumpets that they ended up finishing blowing trumpets on the Feast of Trumpet Day? And I would imagine it's right when the sun went down, because then it's the next day. And we were talking here about, what's the rapture going to be like? I mean, is it going to be, what time is it going to be based on? Is it going to be based on Jewish time? Or is it going to be a time zone rapture where, you know, if you're in this time zone, that last minute of the day, then that gets raptured, and then you get to hear, man, there's some strange things happening over at Greenwich Mean Time, you know, at the International Dateline time of midnight, and then it's just going to be a revolving rapture. Or maybe it's the last trump of the Feast of Trumpets on the Day of Trumpets, when at sunset they blow the last trump and it's over. And then everywhere in the world it happens. We don't know. But you can't make the case on any of this. You can't make, oh, it's the last trump, so it's mid or turn. Because there's so many other reasons beyond what we've already covered. The rapture of the church is before the 70th week of Daniel starts. There is absolutely no doubt in that. In taking all the scriptures of the Bible, the only way the prophetic word makes sense in all cases is if it is before the 70th week of Daniel. And actually has to be sometime before that even. So let's go back to Leviticus 23:23. I wanted to make you aware of the different views, but wouldn't it be, and like I said last week, as soon as Pentecost goes by, I'm totally convinced it's trumpets. And there's reasons. There's no other, I mean, trumpets is a standalone. There's not anything associated with something spiritual right now, but it will be spiritual if it's a day that God does call us home. 24, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial, a blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. So there was sacrifices and offerings being done, but just generally, they do that every day anyway. And then, in verse 26 to 32, we get into the day of Yom Kippur. Now, it does not really emphasize in the scripture from the trumpets until Yom Kippur, you're supposed to be in this total mindset of repentance and making sure you're clean and you've done nothing wrong and all that other stuff. But that's what the Jews do. This feast starts and it's like, okay, Yom Kippur. This is now telling me 10 days from now Yom Kippur is happening. And especially right now with the Jews, because you know why? They have no temple. See, right now the nation cannot know, because the high priest stays alive when he comes out of the Holy of Holies, having one day a year on Yom Kippur, the high priest goes in the days they had a temple, and he offers a sacrifice for the people and for himself. And if he comes out alive, the people know God accepted the sacrifice, and on that day they know their sins are forgiven. God has made it clear that their sins are forgiven. Well, they can't do that today. And so they're really kind of bothered to make sure we can't go to the temple, we can't do the sacrifice, we don't have the priesthood, we don't have the ash of the red heifer, we don't have a scapegoat, we don't have all this other stuff, and so I got to really make sure. And they'll actually even think about, okay, I did that sin, and there will be a rock that they stick in their pocket. Oh, and I did this sin and put a rock in their pocket. And then they'll go out into a place that they want to go to in a river, and they just, you know, God, I just want to get rid. I want you to just forgive me and get rid of these sins in my life. Isn't that tragic that they have rejected their own Messiah that they could just go to and say, Lord, could you give me a one and done? Can you just please forgive me for my sins and just past, present, and future, that I can just be clean in your eyes and have a relationship with you and not have to worry about whether I did enough rocks or whether I missed something or whether whatever else, and you're going to come and judgment's going to come because judgment, you know, Joel talks about judgment coming in this time of the year. And they miss it. So, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, also on the 10th day of this 7th month shall be the Day of Atonement, 10 days after trumpets. Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur in the Hebrew. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. You totally do a Sabbath thing. You don't do any work. And you afflict your souls, and the Jews today say, even fasting. And they don't, and just to make sure, they'll start like it during the Yom Kippur War in 1973, Egypt and Syria, knowing the Jews have the practice on Yom Kippur of fasting for 3 days. Fasting, being at home, doing no work, that, you know, not even listening to radios and other entertainment and stuff, they know that's a time to attack the Jews because they're weak. They're home. It's their highest holiday. And they did a surprise attack on the Jews. And it was miraculous that the Jews survived. They thought at first it was the death of their nation in Yom Kippur, 1973. And so they afflict their souls. Even the seculars will at least a little bit pay attention, but the religious Jews, this is a huge holiday. And not a holiday like we have a holiday, a huge spiritual self-evaluation in your life. Afflict your soul on that same day. Whoever doesn't afflict their soul, any person, verse 29, who is not afflicted in soul on that day shall be cut off from his people. Kick them out of the nation. If they don't do this, they're not Jews. Get them out of the nation. And any person who does any work on that day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generation in all your dwellings. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest. And you shall afflict your souls on the 9th day of the month at evening, from evening to evening. You shall celebrate your Sabbath. Because 9th day at evening, when the sun goes down on the 9th day, you're the 10th day. As soon as the sun goes down, like tonight, for the Jew, as soon as the sun goes down on Wednesday night, then it's Thursday. And that's when the day starts. So you afflict your soul, you do absolutely nothing. If you do anything, now what's the message of that? Do nothing. Because what's happening on that day is the priests are doing everything. The sacrifices that are now making the whole nation feel like their sins are forgiven. And it's telling the people, you have nothing to do with this. Isn't that what Jesus does for us? You know, you didn't save yourself. In a sense, stop throwing rocks out of your pockets. Stop chanting anything. Stop doing a rosary. Stop saying Hail Mary. Stop doing everything. You cannot do anything to save yourself from sin except call upon the name of Jesus who did everything. It's the only thing that we can do, is call upon the name of Jesus. And You know, making sure that I do the same thing on Wednesday as Sunday, we'll finish up next week. Because I'm ready for Tabernacles, but really there's a lot to Tabernacles too that we'll cover next week. So the fall feast, we've got two out of three, then it's Tabernacles, and then the Jews, it's kind of like how we go, okay, there's Thanksgiving, and then there's Christmas, and then you wait till the Easter for them, Resurrection Sunday for us. Then there's Easter. For the Jews, it's this spring, those days of Passover, first fruits, unleavened bread. You know, okay, we're done with that. Next is 50 days. It's Pentecost. And then there's the fall feasts, and then they're done with the feast times. And we're going to emphasize next week, Tabernacles is done in the whole scheme of things, because Jesus fulfills it when he comes back and he tabernacles on earth during his millennial reign with his people. There was something else I was going to say, but lost it. Oh, I know. I've even heard, this is crazy, this is what I was going to say. Trump, the last Trump. You know, President Trump. Messiah, the last Trump. It's going to be him. He's not our Messiah. And then they equate that to the whole Cyrus thing and everything else. And it's just like, I mean, people do a good job of twisting scripture, don't they? And we gotta avoid doing that. So, Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the promises you've given us. And Lord, we just pray by the power of your Spirit, you prepare our hearts. And we just thank you that the Day of Atonement was, for us, was 2,000 years ago, when you truly atoned for our sin as a perfect sacrifice and the perfect Lamb of God that took away our sins, and we can trust in you and know that we have a relationship with you because of what you've done for us. And we just want to rest in that Sabbath rest of ceasing from our works and now only doing so out of service to what you've done for us to save us. In the works that we have for you are out of love and affection for what you've done. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. No turning back, no turning back.
The bridge is out. No going back. You know, for those that are truly born again, they realize, man, I don't want to go back to Egypt. I don't want to go back to the life of sin. And just, you know, just in their minds, planting the explosive. No going back. God has saved us. God bless you. Keep you in his care until we can fellowship again.